You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Douglas and Fitz. Actually, oh man, my name can go first on this one. Fitz and Douglas.
It doesn't matter.
Fad. Like it's a fad. I don't know. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio. Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz. We're in for the guys. Presented by Progressive Insurance. The big news, obviously, out of the day so far is that we have Kevin Durant and the Nets coming to some sort of an agreement, essentially a joint statement release saying they're going to move forward together to build a lasting basketball future. So it leads to a lot of reaction, some of which is coming from you guys. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll take more of your calls on this. Don't forget to try the $45 silver unlimited plan from Straight Talk Wireless with nationwide 5G on America's best network. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. So we've got a former NFL great here with Harry Douglas, but we like to add a little bit of NBA insight on this too. So we are joined now by former NBA player Quentin Richardson, co-host of the Knuckleheads podcast on the Players Tribune. Always doing great work. Q, appreciate your time, your expertise. You see this statement from the Nets and and KD. What does it say to you?
I mean, it says that, you know, what a lot of us, I know what I wished would happen, you know, has come true, that, you know, they're going to move forward and, you know, try and see what they can get done with the team they got. And I'm excited to see, you know, a healthy Kyrie, a healthy Ben Simmons, and a healthy KD and the rest of those guys go at it.
Q, I got to ask you, man, when you look at the Brooklyn Nets, right, and Kevin Durant coming to them and saying that he wanted to be traded, but I'm of the mindset of, listen, I understand you want to be traded, but we're not going to trade you for a bag of chips. And if we can't get, we talking about the Brooklyn Nets, if we can't get what we want in return and you sign this 4-year contract, then you might just have to be here for 1 year. Do you think that's the approach that the Brooklyn Nets took, understanding the news that we got today?
Yeah, I think everybody, I think all parties involved, man. I think KD is a highly intelligent dude, and you know, looking at everything, him and Rich Kleiman, they understood the position that Brooklyn was in. I think, you know, it was kind of agreeable. I mean, I think Brooklyn did a good job through the storm, you know, building the team out and continuing to sign guys, even though they were being looked at as like, why are they doing this? Like, the team would come back. But I think in the back of their minds, they were hoping that this could happen. And now, you know, I think they have a solid team. When you bring Kyrie and KD back to the mix, I think they have improved the squad from last year. And I'm excited to see what they're going to do.
So, Q, what's that conversation look like? Because I keep thinking about, you know, the reports out there that KD wanted the GM and the head coach fired, the reports that he was so frustrated he would retire, although he has said that is not at all true. We understand all of that. But it felt pretty contentious, at least from the reports on his side. And now you sit down and all of a sudden, you know, after one meeting in L.A., everybody's on the same page. What's that conversation go down like?
I think first, those are, you know, we don't know if those reports are true. We don't know, you know, how valid any of them are from him wanting any of those people fired or not. But I mean, also, I think the thing that stood out to me that, you know, I think one of the first couple sentences that, you know, that Sean and Steve were there. And, you know, that says a big thing, that they are part of this and that they were there for the meeting. And so whatever was going on, that they're on the same page with moving forward, I think that speaks louder than, you know, any reports or anything else. And I mean, Harry, you played on teams and there's disagreements and differences all the time. But when you have to come together and for a common goal, you know, those things get pushed aside when you're in the battle line. That doesn't mean that you know that those people could be all good as friends or whatever, or we're going to see them at dinner or something like that. But, I mean, the job can still be done.
Now, I'm going to go sideways a little bit with this next one. I want to ask you something small before I actually ask you another question. You still have some of those headbands laying around, Q. I've been watching you for a long time, man. See, I used to wear a headband in high school when I hooped. Do you have any laying around so I can borrow one? I still think I can hoop a little bit.
Oh, no, it's funny. It's one literally sitting right in front of me right now. It's an orange NBA head. It's literally sitting right here in front of me on the desk. It's an orange Nike NBA headband. But, yeah, I got Jordan headbands. I still, my kids rock the headbands. We, that's part of the DNA over here.
Yeah, also, I had a big forehead growing up. I still have it now, so I used to want to cover that thing up a little bit.
Hey, but that also is part of the DNA over here.
Man, I got to ask you about the Eastern Conference now, man, in the NBA. When you look at the Nets and they're going to be able to run this thing back for one more year, you have the Bucks, you have Philly, you have the Celtics, the Heat, including the Nets in this conversation. Who do you think has the upper edge in the Eastern Conference with this news that we got today about the Brooklyn Nets and they're going to run things back?
I mean, you still have to be respectful, man. You still got to respect the Celtics as what they did last year and who they became. You still got to look at, Milwaukee, what they were doing, and they lost Chris Middleton in that playoffs. So I mean, it could have been different there. And then Philly, I think with James Harden having a full summer to go get healthy, and I've been seeing a lot of the videos online. He's at the runs. He's back to playing pickup regularly like he's used to doing. I think that's going to be a huge difference in what we see from him. And so I think Philly is going, I think it's going to be – it's going to be interesting, but everybody knows that now the attention shifts directly to Brooklyn. It's right back to like they're going to be probably on the betting and all those odds. It have the odds to win the East and those things. And how can you go against a team that has KD and Kyrie and Ben Simmons if they get on the same page and everything goes well? So I reserve my judgment before anything, because as a player, I know that things can look great on paper, but we you got to come together as a team and things got to hit off the right way. So, I'm excited for the season. I think it's wide open again. You can't really just say this team or that team is going to win a championship, because it's a lot of things that's going to play out, and it's a lot of teams that are, loading up and that I still have legitimate, chances at it.
We're talking to Quentin Richardson. By the way, he's right. In Vegas, the odds went from 11-1 to +900 within an hour after that for the NBA championship. So, Vegas was moving. And by the way, Harry Douglas, I just got to point out, because you're younger than I am, right? Like, you talk about following Q for a long time. I was in Chicago in, I think it would have been, 97, 98? When his first year there? I was in Chicago doing music stuff. I used to go to I was, one of four people at DePaul basketball games.
That's what I'm talking
watching.
About.
I'm just saying, not huge crowds of those, but I was there. All right? So when you start talking about this lineup, though, one thing that Harry mentioned earlier, Quentin, is it's hard to know at this point if Steve Nash is a good coach, a bad coach. We don't really know what to expect from him as a coach. So from a coaching standpoint, when you've gone through a year like he went through, and now maybe these rumors, whatever it means, what's he have to do to sort of show everybody in that locker room who he is?
I think the good thing about Steve is that he's the type of person, and he has this confidence about himself, and he's not been a person that listened to the outside noise, whether it was cheers or boos, he's never been too fazed by that. He's an even keel guy, kind of stays in between. I feel like this is going to be his first opportunity. If everybody stays healthy and everybody's available, this will be his first true year where he gets a chance to see what type of coach he is, where he doesn't have a million things going on drama-wise in the background and guys in or out of the lineup and all of these different things. So I think, this will be, his first true test to see, how great or whatever he can be, where he has his full team and he's not looking for this or waiting for that to happen and, waiting for all of these cards to fall. I think this will be a good picture of what he is.
Q, before we let you go, I must ask you this. Who is your preseason NBA MVP choice this year and why?
I say Kyrie Irving. I think with what he's gone through and the position that he's in, he's looking around like he's supposed to got the 200 and whatever, million dollar extension. And I think we forget a lot, man. They snubbed him on the top 75, which was, as Stephen A. would say, was blasphemous. Like, that's ridiculous that he wasn't top 75. Like, come on, whoever vote, knock it off. But I think he's going, true Kyrie fashion, he wants to show and prove that I'm who I am, And everybody know that when he's healthy and he on that court, it's very few that are capable of what he can do. And I think with the team they got and the type of year that they have a chance to have, I think he's going to go crazy. I mean, we KD, when he play basketball, we know what he's going to do. He's going to be a contender and going to be a candidate for that MVP too. But I think we're going to see a real MVP level type Kyrie where he about to try and just go off.
You guys should check out the Knuckleheads podcast on the Players Tribune. Quentin, as always, we appreciate your time, brother. Thanks so much for hanging out with us and giving us the expertise.
Okay, yes, sir, fellas. Appreciate you.
It's Quentin Richardson. Great work from him. Check out the Knuckleheads podcast. They always do a good time. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, brought to you by Boost Mobile, a proud sponsor of the 2022 Department of Defense Warrior Games. With Boost Mobile, feel the power of more money in your pocket on one of America's largest 5G networks. Let's take a couple of calls in here. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You guys in or out on KD with the Nets at this point. Tim in San Francisco, thanks for calling the show, Tim. What you got?
Hey, man. Hey, I'm just letting you guys know. I think you got this wrong. You know, KD still had plenty of leverage. It's August. Okay, he didn't have to lay down in the middle of August, right? I mean, the guy could have held out till basically training camp or even the start of the season. You know, this is all his decision because he's been working out with Kyrie. I hate to say it. I think Kyrie's the voice of reason. Kyrie wants to stay. He talked him into rolling it back. I mean, he wanted the coaches gone. So why would he lay down in the middle of August and just say, okay, you guys won. You can't get me where I want to go. Why would he do that? Why wouldn't he put more pressure on them to take less as it gets closer to the season?
But why would they have pressure on them? They have it under contract for 4 years. So if he sits out, he doesn't get paid, what else happens?
They don't have a team.
I mean, if they trade him for pennies, they don't have a team either. So, like, from a leverage standpoint, if I'm negotiating, I just don't see it, Tim.
Okay. I'm just saying Kyrie Irving, the voice of reason, for the first time in his life.
And I will say this, Tim. What you're saying, I'm not going to sit up here and say that it's wrong, because it is a possibility that Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant had a talk with one another, and Kyrie Irving probably got Kevin Durant to understand, like, hey, you know what, let's do this one more time. We got to remember, Kevin Durant came over here and joined with Kyrie. That was Kyrie's idea. So I'm not going to sit here and say and dismiss that. But what I will say is that it's not like the Brooklyn Nets didn't have leverage as well in this whole deal.
Yeah, like the concept that he could sit out and then that would make it easier to acquire him. I think one thing that we forget, and look, I don't care that I work for ESPN. I think sometimes ESPN.com even does. Like, we do a weird job of talking about these tremendous trades without understanding dollar for dollar action. Like, the number of times I find myself texting Bobby Marks or somebody like that and saying, hey, everybody's talking about this trade, and he's like, nah, the economics don't work. Like, the concept of trades in the NBA are already difficult because you have to do dollar for dollar like matching on contracts from different teams. So if KD goes into the regular season and says, fine, I won't play, well, if the concept from that is that the Nets won't have a team, what you're negotiating, if I own the Nets, then I have a choice in that situation. I can either force KD to play and try to have a championship caliber team, or I can not. I can watch him sit out and have nothing. But if I trade him for pennies, I have nothing. I have no brand relevance, and I'm Oklahoma City. When's the last time you watched an Oklahoma City game? When's the last time anybody talked about OKC? The worst thing, there is something far worse than being good or bad in the NBA. It's being irrelevant. And when you are irrelevant, it is impossible to turn that around. It is so difficult to give somebody to give a damn about your franchise. If KD sits out for a year, I'd rather have that. I'd rather continue to be in the news every day arguing with my player, even if I have to go to court over it through the CBA, to get him to play if it gives me a shot at a championship, then trade him for a bunch of guys that are essentially going to make me irrelevant for the next several years. That's not a winning proposition from an ownership standpoint.
And here's the crazy part about it. When you look at the state of New York, right, even though the Brooklyn Nets are better than the New York Knicks, let's be honest, this is New York Knicks country.
Yep.
Literally. And that has some that holds weight in my eyes. But so when you look at the Brooklyn Nets and they made the playoffs and even the year before, you still aren't as relevant as the New York Knicks because this is Nick country.
Such a good point, Harry. And, you know, I think we also have to understand what people own these teams for, right? There are two different reasons you can own a team. You can own a team because you are such a massive fan of that team, you just have to see them succeed. Or you can own a team because not only are you a fan of the sport, but frankly, you want to win a bunch of games. And if you look at the net worth of the size, according to the Google machine, not always correct, but it's roughly $8.9 billion. So an $8.9 billion very wealthy family is in an argument with somebody worth hundreds of millions of dollars about a contract. Like, just the legal side of that, just the business side of that says, all right, the billionaire is going to sit there and say, I can outspend you, I can outweight you, I can outnegotiate you, I can do whatever I want in this equation. Like, we are applying fan logic to owners of teams, but you don't get to be worth $8.9 billion if you're letting your heart control your money.
Well, it's like the gambling analogy, right? If you're playing cards with someone and you know what? You might have the better hand, but the person with the most money at the end of the day is going to be the person who actually wins because they can just bet continuously over and over and over and over again.
Yeah. By the way, Harry and I will take on any ESPN radio show in spades. I'm just saying that right now. Like, that is done. That is a done deal. Kevin in Illinois, thanks for calling the show, Kevin. What you got, man?
Man, I don't think it matters really what Boston or what Brooklyn does this year. I don't see anybody beating Boston. You know, I mean, can you really tell me that they're going to accomplish anything less than they did last year? They went out, they got Brogdon, an above-average starting point guard for a first-round pick. I mean, just they've had a great offseason. I don't think many people are really appreciating that.
Okay, well, let me go ahead and break down something for you. do you understand that the Philadelphia 76ers added pieces? They're going to have an offseason together to understand Doc Rivers' system with one another. You're going to have a James Harden who's going to understand where to get guys into certain spots and get the ball to them. You have Tobias Harris. They brought over, I'm trying to remember his name, P.J. Tucker, a defensive prowess. They added Daniel House. I think it was D'Anthony. Who was another? It was another guy they brought over from Memphis. I can't remember his name right now, but they have some pieces. Now, on top of, we're talking about the Milwaukee Bucks. Let's not forget last year, that series went to seven games without Chris Middleton.
Exactly.
If Chris Middleton was inserted into that lineup, I do not believe the Boston Celtics would have won that series. They do have a guy named Giannis Antetokounmpo still on that roster to go along with Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton. They have a big three. So let's just pump our brakes. D'Anthony Melton, yep, they brought over from the Memphis Grizzlies. So let's just pump our brakes right now saying that you don't think anybody's going to beat the Boston Celtics when last year, if Chris Middleton was in that lineup, I don't even think the Celtics make it to the NBA Finals.
Keep in mind that last year the Bucks had the third best offense in the NBA, and they won 51 games, even though Middleton, Holiday, and Antetokounmpo all missed at least 15 games due to injuries. Like, think about that. Brook Lopez only played 13 games because of his back issues. So you start talking about a team that believes they're fine just the way they are, it is definitely Milwaukee. And every year we sleep on Milwaukee because, like, they're Milwaukee. Same reason we don't talk enough about, by the way, the number one seed in the East last year. I can hear Amber Wilson in my head all the way from down in Florida saying, Miami! Miami! Like, there's a reason they were number one in the East, too. So, you know, there are certain – I think it's tougher for Boston. I don't disagree with the caller that Boston had a nice offseason. I think the East is a lot more loaded than we're giving it credit for. John in New York, thanks for calling Bart and Han. John, what you got, man? Thanks for the call.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. I kind of wanted to say that I like this idea that the Brooklyn Nets actually locked in and said, you know, we want to build a championship. You know, we're looking in the future and decided, you know, we need you on this team. But I also don't like it because, number one, look at Kevin Durant's resume with the Brooklyn Nets. I'm not talking about stat-wise. I'm talking about, you know, all the trades and the signings and whatever. Are the Nets really going to give KD the keys to this franchise again for this season? Because ever since the KD trade request came out, Nets only signed only five free agents. And to, you know, to lean on what Patrick Beverly was saying on Twitter a couple hours ago, he's right. You know, there's a lot of free agents that are missing in action right now, you know. Where's Blake Griffin going to be headed to? Where's LaMarcus Aldridge? You know, he just came back from having a health scare, you know, and he's been missing in action ever since.
I mean, that's the same thing we could have said about Aaron Rodgers last year when he was going through his whole debacle. You know, he was holding up things from players on his own team being signed, and the whole free agent market was waiting to see what he was going to do quarterback-wise and for other franchises. But at the end of the day, an individual player is not going to sit up here and say, you know what, I'm worried about what LaMarcus Aldridge is going to do and not my damn self. It doesn't work like that, especially in the NBA. I think it's more individuality in the NBA, more so than it is football-wise, and you may see it come up in football here and there. But I think when you look at the totality of everything, Kevin Durant's not sitting at home saying, you know what, let me hurry up and make this decision because I'm worried about what player A, B, or C are going to sign in free agency. That's not how it works.
No, and that's a really important point, Harry, because the tweet he's referencing, the caller was, Patrick Beverly tweeted about an hour ago, y'all can sit and don't say nothing, but that ain't cool. It's dudes with families out here who haven't got a job because of this KD, you know what, and to be on and off ain't cool. Blessings, gang. Prayer hands, basketball emoji. I love reading emojis. It's one of my favorites. To which Kevin Durant quote tweeted, hashtag blame KD. And obviously that's forced, well, it doesn't force, that's created a substantial amount of conversation back and forth. So that's what's happening right now. And look, this is what's real. Every time something happens with KD, the world talks about it and everybody has an opinion. We want more of your opinions. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That is absolutely how you can get in, give us some of your takes on all things Kevin Durant. Plus, I don't know if you guys saw this. There was big news today in college football. One coach got a massive, jaw-dropping contract, and all it really proves is what an incredible hypocrite he is. We'll tell you about it next. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio. Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz filling in for the guys.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, your smart speaker. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, a triple threat of protection with home, auto, and more. Visit progressive.com. He's Harry Douglas. I'm Jason Fitz. Harry, by the way, check him out on the replays throughout the day. Was on Get Up this morning. I mean, the first time Harry and I ever worked together, he was a newbie. Now he's a superstar. Like, he's he's the Devontae Adams in this equation. I'm just trying to rise to be the Derek Carr. That's what's happening. Like, I get it. Harry's super famous. Want to check him out. There is no amount of money that would be enough for Harry Douglas. Like, Harry Douglas is worth all of it and more, right? But that's where, you know, Harry's a little like Nick Saban. I don't know if y'all saw the news. You see that transition? Spectacular work by me. I don't know if you guys saw the news, but Nick Saban got a massive, massive contract extension today. Now, a lot of people are going to talk about the amount of money. The way it works out is it looks like it's $11.7 million annual. It will make him the college football's highest paid coach. The deal extends through February of 2030. So it gives him just above Kirby Smart. Kirby Smart at Georgia got $11.25 million. Alabama gets $11.7 million. And I've seen a lot of people tweeting out, and he's still underpaid because you understand the value that he brings to Jordan, to Alabama football and to college football as a whole. That's fine. I don't disagree that I love the idea of Nick Saban getting like Scrooge McDuck rich, like rolling around in the coins. But this contract speaks to how stinking hypocritical Nick Saban and every college football coach is. Because Nick Saban's one of the people that at SEC Media Days sat there and talked about name, image, likeness and how it was destroying equity in the sport and how you could no longer have balance across college football because it's just about paying players. You can't have balance in college football in general when you've got facilities being opened that are worth hundreds of millions of dollars and coaches that are being $11.7 million just for Saban. That doesn't include all of his assistant coaches. I have no problem with coaches getting paid, but I have a massive problem with the same coaches that get paid and have unlimited cash available to their staffs talking about equality in college football as the reason that young college football players can't be paid.
Now, Fitz, this subject is very touching for me because of the simple fact that you have a lot of college coaches who are making a ton of money to coach a college football team saying that they wish that the NIL deals for players would be cap and there would be rules and whatever, whatnot, right? And part of their reasoning is because it can create a competitive advantage. Now, the flip side of that is that when I look at these college coaches, right, when I look at Nick Saban, who's making $11.7 million per year now, Kirby Smart, $11.25 million, Lincoln Riley, $10+ million, Brian Kelly, $9.5 million, Mel Tucker, $9.5 million, Ryan Day, $9.5 million. Now, I go to scratching my head and I go to wondering, well, if they think players getting paid and NIL needs to be capped because it can be a competitive advantage, do you not think that the coaches being able to make this amount of money to stay at their schools is a competitive advantage? Because kids, you know what? I want to go to Alabama because of Nick Saban. So if you're paying them this money, that's not a competitive advantage in your eyes? It's hypocritical to me, and I wish these college coaches would stop. Stop trying to limit what these players can use with their name, image, and likeness. Now, we also just heard about a TV deal, right? That's going to be striking. But what is it, $7 billion?
$7 billion.
$7 billion. Yeah. At what point are the players going to be able to get a piece of those that TV deal? That's what I want to know. Because at the end of the day, these players are putting their bodies on the line, and I hate when people say, well, they're getting a scholarship. That should be enough. You're using my name, image, and likeness for the betterment of your university to make money. I need a piece of it. These players need a piece of it. So I don't like the fact that college coaches say, oh, this NIL thing, these players, it needs to be capped. No, it's hypocritical in my eyes.
100%. And, you know, there's a spot for me, I've said this many times, but as a kid that went to school on a violin performance scholarship, yes, they exist, one thing that I was allowed to do was then take all the gigs I want and do all of the side work I want. I could teach at a per hour rate because I was a musician at that program. Like, it gave me so many different opportunities. So why we will allow a violin kid at Indiana, for example, to make all of these extra gigs and all this extra money while still getting a full scholarship? Like, we don't limit what that kid's doing, but we want to limit what the basketball kid's doing. And what's hard for me on all of this is name, image, likeness as it's set up right now. Like, I need people to understand, even if the NCAA breaks away college football and they're no longer part of it, name, image, likeness was decided by our courts as something that it is illegal to prevent a kid from being able to monetize his name, image, likeness. They can break off all day long. Ain't going to change the fact that the court has ruled. And now what you have is the only sword that coaches will fall on to of why this is killing the sport is the future, you know, equitable, like how competitive college football will be. Well, now we know Nick Saban getting what, $11.7 million a year. According to the Board of Trustees earlier this year, the 10 Crimson Tide assistants on his staff will make $8.235 million this year. So now we're up to $20 million just in coaches' pay. So you want to tell me that you think that kids profiting off their name, image, likeness will kill the future of the sport? But having a coaching staff, just a coaching staff, making $20 million a year, when you know damn well not every school can pay $20 million, ain't nobody comparing whether or not UNLV can put up a close amount of money for their coaches. Nobody's sitting there saying, well, what are we going to do about you know, Utah State and whether or not they can match the amount of money that the Sabans of the world are. Like, we pick and choose where we need people to be limited for competitive reasons, and that choosing always seems to go to the side of, yeah, well, coaches are worth it and players aren't. I just can't make that leap.
I'm going to throw a monkey wrench in this. And this is not Nick Saban, because I think he does a phenomenal job coaching. Nor will I say it's any of the coaches that I named previously who's making a ton of money. But for some coaches to be getting the money that they're paid, Fitz, you know how much I watch film on a daily. Yeah. They aren't even coaching at that level to be getting paid that much money. So most of it, and I'm saying that being nice right now, I'm being honest. I'm being nice in saying that. The coaching level from what I'm watching on the football film doesn't add up to the money that a lot of these coaches are even making. So luckily for them, I guess they're doing a hell of a job recruiting and getting players. But trust me, from what I'm watching, it's not like these players are being developed at a high level that these coaches are making this money.
one of the most stunning things to me that I've learned in talking to guys like Harry and talking to, I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus, but the number of players I've talked to throughout the course of ESPN that have sat there with me and said, man, it is amazing how bad some coaches are. And you see it at every level, at college, at the NFL. Like, there's a good old boys club of like guys get into certain situations. They bring their buddies along. Some of them can coach. Some of them can't coach, you know, and it's crazy to think that we've gotten to this spot. I'm all in on a sport that, like you said, had a $7 billion media rights package. Fine. If coaches want to get a ton of money, there is no amount of money that's too much money for Nick Saban, considering the attention he brings to the University of Alabama that would never be there if he wasn't the coach and they weren't constantly in the national championship conversation. I have no problem with that. What I have a problem with is the concept that that same person, knowing he's getting paid far more than any other coach could possibly be paid in that process, is then turning around and complaining about the concept that a kid might make a little money off of their name, image, likeness, because that will ruin competitiveness and the balance of the ecosystem of college football. At its best, that's hypocritical. We'll keep taking your calls on everything. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You guys are fired up about KD. We'll let you guys take over. Plus, ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance, a triple threat of protection, home, auto, and more. Visit progressive.com. The pursuit of history is officially on in St. Louis. We'll tell you about it next. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Bart and Hahn.
It's Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and of course on your smart speaker. All right, you guys are chiming in on KD. We'll let you keep taking it over. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's go to John in Charlotte. John, what you got, man? Thanks for calling the show.
Hello?
Hey, John, you're on the air. What you got, buddy?
Peekaboo, John.
Can you hear me?
We got
you.
Sir.
You got me? Okay. Hey, yeah, I wanted to chime in on this KD and Brooklyn thing, man. You guys still there?
Yeah,
yeah,
talk,
we're here.
Talk
ready
to
you're
us, John.
There.
We're waiting on you, John.
Okay. All right, I'm coming, Harry. All right, so, yeah, I just wanted to say, look, Brooklyn gets my respect for this thing because I've said all along, Kyrie made them look foolish, if you ask me, especially after that that press conference, whatever, after they get swept. To me, he just made them look so foolish, and they just had to stand up this time. They get my respect. I'm a Hornets and Golden State fan, but and an NBA fan, so they definitely get my respect for standing on this thing.
Thanks for the call.
Yeah, and I'll say this. He's 100% right, because in the beginning, remember the Brooklyn Nets said, because Kyrie Irving wasn't vaccinated, they weren't going to let him play, right? And that's what they believed in. Then they turned around and didn't double down on it, but they started to allow Kyrie Irving to play in away games. So I thought right then and there, they were sending the wrong message. Granted, I understand the talent that Kyrie Irving is, but once you had made that decision, I thought they should have stuck with that decision. Now, in saying that, I think when you see the post game, well, the post interview at the end of the season by Kyrie Irving, and he's mentioning him, Josiah, and the GM doing what they can do, right? Didn't even mention Steve Nash in it. I thought it was kind of a slap in Brooklyn's face and management and the front office. And I like the stance that they have taken now. So it lets me know that, you know what, they're going to grab control over their franchise and they're not going to let anybody else dictate what they're going to do.
Yeah, I think this is part of what was important here, and it's where we started this whole conversation. Like, at some point, a team has got to stand up and say, here's what's best for us. And, you know, realistically, no matter how they termed it, the Nets have definitely looked at KD and said, here's what's best for us. And in the process of doing so, they've protected their team as best they can right now. Now KD can decide what's best for him, but the team can't always lean to the player to make that determination for them. Sometimes the team's got to stand up and say, I know what you want, but you just can't have it. So we'll keep taking more of your calls as we try to break down how y'all feel about KD and the Nets now. I'm Barton Hahn, Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Bart and Hahn.
And the 3-2 pitch to Albert is hit hard and deep left center field. Did he get another one? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. A 2 home run game for Albert Pujols. This one, the line drive variety. And he now has 692. He is absolutely amazing.
That's Cardinals Radio Network on the call for Albert Pujols. It's Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio. Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz, filling in for the guys. We're brought to you by the Home Depot with everything you need to get projects done smarter, faster, and easier. Welcome to today's Home Depot, how doers get more done. Pursuit of history here for Albert Pujols as he's seven away from 700. And that is, he has 693 right now. He sits seven away from 700 home runs. And Harry, I always love talking to former athletes about it because you know when these things are right there, right? You know when you're looking at that sort of a landmark. And Pujols has been very adamant that, you know, he's done at the end of the year, doesn't matter. But for somebody to be sitting staring at 700, it's got to A, be sort of planted somewhere in the back of your mind, and B, it's got to mean something coming down the stretch to you and to the fans, right?
Of course. And I look at a guy like Albert Pujols, right? We all remember the All-Star game where he got nothing but love, not just from fans, but the players that was out there playing in the All-Star game and who the people that were out there at the Home Run Derby or whatnot. And I actually thought that light lit a little fuse in Albert Pujols. Like, you know what? This is the extra life that I needed. You talk about a guy who's played 23 years, Fitz. 693 home runs right now, seven away from getting 700. Over 3,300 hits, over 2,100 RBIs, career batting average of 297. He's meant so much to baseball. He's meant so much for the St. Louis Cardinals. And you talk about a team in Albert Pujols possibly getting that 700 home run. It's not like he's doing it and they're having a losing season. The Cardinals are right now leading the NL Central. You talk about guys like Paul Goldschmidt, who's been phenomenal for this team, Nolan Arenado. I think those guys are really, really embracing this moment right now for Albert Pujols, and I think he's going to get it, and I can't wait because I want to see the reaction, not just of him, but his family. You know, he's a big family man as well.
Well, I think the hope is that he gets it because, you know, obviously as we go later into the season, that's not a lot left that he needs to get there. It's only seven, but seven is a lot. Like, seven is not just patchwork in this process, right? So it gets a little difficult for me. I think in my mind, this awful, like, what if he gets, you know, two shy, three shy? Like, does that weigh from a player? Like, do you sit back and you're like, man, I'm so close. I got to come back and play a few more games.
And here's the thing, though. Like, if you don't get it, I think it'll be in the back of Pujols' mind. It's like, you know what? Maybe I need to play for, work something out with the organization. Hey, let me get this amount of games and then, you know, y'all can just let me go. But I want to get to 700. It is a milestone for his career, and I think he deserves to get it and have it on his resume.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it. He's hit 14 this year. He hit 12 last year. Getting another seven is a lot to stack on top of it. But you also got to look at it and say, man, he's in a situation this year where obviously he's comfortable and he's playing really well, as you pointed out. And longevity is part of this conversation, too. Like, it is interesting to see somebody that grew up, you know, his career grew up in the early 2000s around so much of that same steroid era that it's I'm not lumping him into anything. I'm not accusing him of anything. I just think that when you come up from that era, people side-eye all of your great results. So it's one of the things that you can really, by getting to 700, you almost, and the longevity he's had, I wonder if it separates you from some of that conversation about steroids that you just don't want to be a part of.
Well, you look at a guy like Albert Pujols. Listen, his forearm is probably bigger than one of my legs. Let's be honest.
And you got big legs, too.
No, you know my legs are tiny. I have these little pencil legs.
Compared to me.
Pixie stick legs. His forearms are so huge. I just wish I had one of them. Come on, Albert. Lend me one.
I mean, by the way, if you've never seen Harry in shorts, there's a reason. Harry Douglas walks around campus sometimes with shorts, like, and you just want to hand him a juice box. Because if you didn't look at the upper body, you'd think that there was like a kid walking through the hall, like, just needs a juice box. And then you realize that that was a record-setting wide receiver that played at the highest possible level.
You
want to know my
analogy? You don't see no horse at the Kentucky Derby with no big, huge legs. All their legs are small. You see those thoroughbreds in the Derby? Yes, Fish, that's the analogy I use. I'm calling myself a thoroughbred.
Look, Renee, our producer, has told me that you are wearing those shorts now in studio at Seaport. Did we go like business on the front and party on the bottom on Get Up?
So
or
listen,
did you wear?
True story. Okay. I was at the Falcons and Jets practice on Saturday, and I ran into Dan Orlowski, and the first thing Dan said to me is, dude, you have on shorts like you were back in the 1990s. Why are they so big? Well, I said, Dan, not everybody can wear Hoochie Daddy shorts like you have on.
I mean, you're not wrong. By the way, I've never been, look, you know me, and anybody that hangs around me 3 seconds knows that fashion is not my favorite thing. I'm very consistent, okay? Like, I know, you know this, I know this. I wear dark jeans, I wear dark shirts, and I wear neon shoes. I've been doing the same basic look for, I don't know, roughly 25 years of my life. But part of that is because I never have to live with regret. See, like, a lot of the guys right now that have decided that the short shorts are back in, like, they're going to regret those pictures. Like, the mullet is back in. Like, everybody likes these mullets again. And I'm like, look, y'all, this is a mistake, all right? I look at pictures of me as a child with the bowl cut, like the Stranger Things bowl cut on my head. And I'm like, that was a mistake. By staying timelessly unique to myself, maybe I don't fit in with the Orlovsky time. Because Orlovsky, if you've ever been around somebody that screams, I'm wearing Hamptons tiny shorts with a little tiny flamingo pattern on them, that's definitely Orlovsky. Tell me I'm wrong. Orlovsky is like the light blue with a little tiny flamingo.
So, ladies, if you want to surprise your significant other with a nice pair of shorts, they call them Hoochie Daddy shorts now. Get it for them so you can see their thighs and see if they're really working out or whatnot. You know, show their backside a little bit more. Hey, that's a present from you to your significant other. Maybe not. I don't know.
All I know is that I've got tiny, tiny legs, but I am thinking of getting some laser hair removal so I can start doing some tattoo work on my leg. I don't want to have to shave my legs every day.
Hoochie Daddy shorts. Hoochie Daddy.
Hoochie Daddy. Like, I get some mink done, I'll get some Hoochie Daddy shorts. All right, you guys, there are so many of you on hold, I don't want to cut anybody off. So hang with us. Stick with us. KD is the big news today. The Nets and KD are going to run it back. It looks like they've come to some sort of a piece of agreement with them where they can move forward. That means you guys want to chime in. We'll let you. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3 776. More of your calls next on Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn.